Welcome to Poetry Basket, KIDE's monthly reading of poems from near and far. Today is our fourth annual tribute to Valentine's Day.
To Valentine's Day and the many faces of love. Our selections come from Chile, India, Ireland, Native America, and the United States.
We open with Aimless Love by New York poet Billy Collins, who has some different ideas about falling in love.
Aimless Love. This morning, as I walked along the lakeshore, I fell in love with a wren, and later in the day with a mouse the cat had dropped under the dining room table. In the shadows of an autumn evening, I fell for a seamstress, still at her machine in the tailor's window, and later for a bowl of broth, steam rising like smoke from a naval battle. This is the best kind of love, I thought, without recompense, without gifts, or unkind words, without suspicion or silence on the telephone. The love of the chestnut, the jazz cap, and one hand on the wheel. No lust, no slam of the door. The love of the miniature orange tree, the clean white shirt, the hot evening shower, the highway that cuts across Florida. No waiting, no huffiness or rancor. Just a twinge every now and then for the wren who had built her nest on a low branch overhanging the water, and for the dead mouse still dressed in its light brown suit. But my heart is always propped up in a field on its tripod, ready for the next arrow. After I carried the mouse by the tail to a pile of leaves in the woods, I found myself standing at the bathroom sink, gazing down affectionately at the soap, so patient and soluble, so at home in its pale green soap dish. I could feel myself falling again as I felt its turning in my wet hands, and caught the scent of lavender and stone.
And who would trade the dread, sacred, and overwhelming power of love for peace? Edna St. Vincent Millay ponders this question in her poem, Love is Not All. Edna St. Vincent Millay was born in 1892 in Maine.
Love is not all. Love is not all. It is not meat, nor drink, nor slumber, nor a roof against the rain, nor yet a floating spar to men that sink and rise and sink and rise and sink again. Love cannot fill the thickened lung with breath, nor clean the blood, nor set the fractured bone. Yet many a man is making friends with death even as I speak, for lack of love alone. It well may be that in a difficult hour, pinned down by pain and moaning for release, or nagged by want past resolution's hour, I might be driven to sell your love for peace, or trade the memory of this night for food. It well may be, I do not think I would.
Of course, there's no love like young love, as another Billy Collins poem reminds us. Love is the title he gives this one.
Love. The boy at the far end of the train car kept looking behind him, as if he were afraid or expecting someone. And then she appeared in the glass door of the forward car, and he rose and opened the door and let her in. And she entered the car, carrying a large black case in the unmistakable shape of a cello. She looked like an angel with a high forehead and somber eyes, and her hair was tied up behind her neck with a black bow. And because of all that, he seemed a little awkward in his happiness to see her, whereas she was simply there, perfectly existing as a creature with a soft face who played the cello. And the reason I'm writing this on the back of a manila envelope, now that they have left the train together, is to tell you that when she turned to lift the large, delicate cello onto the overhead rack, I saw him looking up at her and what she was doing, the way the eyes of painted saints are looking up at God when he is doing something remarkable, something that identified him as God.
And then there's wishful love, expressed in this Robley Wilson poem, "I Wish in the City of Your Heart." Robley Wilson is an award-winning writer of fiction and poetry who lives in Florida.
I wish in the city of your heart. I wish in the city of your heart you would let me be the street where you walk when you are most yourself. I imagine the houses. It has been raining, but the rain is done and the children kept home have begun opening their doors.
The Pity of Love is our next poem, by the Irish poet William Butler Yeats, one of the foremost figures of 20th century literature. William Butler Yeats was born in Dublin in 1865.
The pity of love, a pity beyond all telling, is hid in the heart of love. The folk who are buying and selling, the clouds on their journey above, the cold wet winds ever blowing, and the shadowy hazel grove, where mouse-gray waters are flowing, threaten the head that I love.
Our guest Samuel Claiborne is here to read his poem, Two Sons. Samuel Claiborne is a poet and an award-winning musician from New York State.
Two Sons. I said we were two moons, but I was wrong. Two moons shed no light on each other. Even if trapped together, they are alone, tracing a cold dance through an empty sky. No, we are two suns. Caught in each other's path, we circle. There is no night between us, only bright, burning day.
We have a poem called 40-something and was written by Robert Haas. Born in California in 1941, Robert Haas is a widely read award-winning American poet.
40-something, she says to him, musing. If you ever leave me and marry a younger woman and have another baby, I'll put a knife in your heart. They're in bed, so she climbs onto his chest and looks directly down into his eyes. You understand? Your heart.
For a happier perspective on marriage, we turn to Wedding Poem for Shell and Phil. It was written by Bill Holm, an American poet, essayist, and musician born in Minnesota in 1943.
Wedding Poem for Shell and Phil. A marriage is risky business these days, says some old and prudent voice inside. We don't need 20 children anymore to keep the family line alive or gather up the hay before the rain. No law demands respectability. Love can arrive without certificate or cash. History and experience both make clear that men and women do not hear the music of the world in the same key, rather rolling distances doomed to clash. So what is left to justify a marriage? Maybe only the hunch that half the world will ever be present in any room, with just a single pair of eyes to see it. Whatever is invisible to one is to the other an enormous golden line, calm and sleeping in the easy chair. After many years, if things go right, both lion and emptiness are always there, the one never true without the other. But the dark secret of the ones long married, a pleasure never mentioned to the young, is the sweet heat made from two bodies in a bed, curled together on a winter night, the smell of the other always in the quilt, the hand set quietly on the other's flank that carries news from another world, light years away from the one inside that you always thought that you inhabited alone. The heat in that hand could melt a stone.
We have another beautiful dedication to marriage, Four Notions of Love and Marriage. It was written by N. Scott Momaday of Kiowa Heritage. N. Scott Momaday is a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer. He dedicated this poem to Judith and Richard Morse on their wedding. 1. Formerly, I thought of you twice, as it were. Presently, I think of you once and for all. 2. I wish you well, that you are the runners of a wild vine, that you are the roan and russet of dusk, that you are a hawk and the hawk shadow, that you are grown old in love and delight. I wish you well. 3. Be still, lovers. When the moon falls away westward, there is your story in the stars. 4. In my regalia, in moccasins, with gourd and eagle feather fan, in my regalia, imagine me. Imagine that I sing and dance at your wedding.
Ogden Nash offered some advice on marriage in his poem, A Word to Husbands. Ogden Nash is America's acknowledged master of light and humorous verse. He was born in 1902 in Rye, New York. Nashville was named after one of his ancestors.
A Word to Husbands. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, shut up.
Here's a little gem on the subject of marriage. Natural History, a poem by the American poet E.B. White that he included in a letter to his wife sent from a hotel in Toronto.
Natural History. The spider, dropping down from twig, unwinds a thread of her devising, a thin, premeditated rig to use in rising. And all the journey down through space, in cool descent and loyal-hearted, she builds a ladder to the place from which she started. Thus I, gone forth as spiders do, in spider's web a truth discerning, attach one silken strand to you for my returning.
A And what about all those furred and feathered friends who mate for life? Like the Blue Booby, which is the name of our next poem, written by James Tate, the award-winning poet born in Kansas City in 1943.
The Blue Booby. The Blue Booby lives on the bare rocks of Galapagos and fears nothing. It is a simple life. They live on fish, and there are few predators. Also, the males do not make fools of themselves chasing after the young ladies. Rather, they gather the blue objects of the world and construct from them a nest, an occasional galois package, a string of beads, a piece of cloth from a sailor suit. This replaces the need for dazzling plumage. In fact, in the past 50 million years, the male has grown considerably duller, nor can he sing well. The female, though, asks little of him. The blue satisfies her completely, has a magical effect on her. When she returns from her day of gossip and shopping, she sees he has found her a new shred of blue foil. For this, she rewards him with her dark body. The stars turn slowly in the blue foil beside them, like the eyes of a mild savior.
Here's another one about feathered love. It's called The Dalliance of the Eagles by Walt Whitman.
The dalliance of the eagles, skirting the river road, my forenoon walk, my rest, skyward in air, a sudden muffled sound. The dalliance of the eagles, the rushing amorous contact, high in space together, the clenching, interlocking claws, living, fierce, gyrating wheel, four beating wings, two beaks, a swirling mass, tight, grappling, in tumbling, turning, clustering loops, straight downward falling, till o'er the river poised, the twain yet one, a moment's lull, a motionless still balance in the air, then parting, talons loosing, upward again, on slow, firm pinions slanting, their separate, diverse flight, she hers, he his, pursuing.
Our story this month is a poem by the young American poet Aracelis Gourmet, who will read it for us. It's called Love is for Everybody.
This poem is for Stephanie Lora, third grade, who made me a card. At the end of the school year, years ago, I was doing a poetry residency, and I got a card from one of the students, and inside of the card was this long word, and the word was LOISFOERIBARI, and then Stephanie Lora's name. So this is me trying to figure out what that card said. Elephant on an orange line underneath a yellow circle, meaning sun. Six green vertical lines with color all from the top, meaning flowers. The first time I peel back the five squares of scotch tape, unfold the crooked crease fold of art class paper, I am in my living room. It is June. Inside of the card, there is one long word and then Estefani's name. Los Furibari? Estefani Lora. Los Furibari. Los Furibari, the scientific Latinate way of saying hibiscus. Los Furibari, a direction is in, are you going north, south, east, west, Los Furibari? I try over and over to read the word out loud. Los Furibari, Los Furibari, Los Furibari, Los Furibari. What is this word? I imagine using it in sentences like, man, I have to go back to the house. I forgot my Los Furibari. Or, there's nothing better than rain, hot rain, open windows with music, and a tall glass of Los Furibari. Or, how are we getting to Pittsburgh? Should we drive or take the Los Furibari? I have lived 4 minutes with this word, not knowing what it means. It is the end of the year. I consider writing my student Estefany Lora a letter that goes to the brilliant Estefany Lora. Hola, querida. I hope that you are well. I've just opened the card that you made me, and it is beautiful. I really love the way you filled the sky with birds. I believe that you are chula, chulita, and superfly. Yes, the card is beautiful. I only have one question for you. What does the word Los Ferivari mean? I tried the word again. Los Ferivari, Los Ferivari, Los Ferivari. I tried the word in Spanish. Los Ferivari, Los Ferivari, Los Ferivari. And then slowly, lo is Ferivari. Lo is Ferivari. Love is for everybody. Love is for everybody. Love, love, love everybody. Love everybody. Love, love is love. Everybody, everybody is love. Love, love for love for everybody. For love is everybody. Love is for every. Love is for everybody. Love, love, love for body. Love, body, body is love. Love is body. Everybody is love. Is every love. For every love is love. For love, everybody. Love, love. Love, love for everybody. Love is for everybody.
How Love Forgets is our next selection. It's by Jennifer Meyer, an award-winning poet and professor of literature at Seattle Pacific University.
How Love Forgets. It happens inevitably, invariably, in spite of you. How could it be otherwise, when nothing will cooperate? Will the world stop practicing her slow pirouette, unfix her green eye from that of her fiery love, and weep with you? Will April lay down her xylophone and pick up the cello? Or December go gravely in his morning coat, without his white gloves, his diamond tiara? Who will share your hamper at the picnic of sorrows, savor your store of preserved sweet griefs and piquant joys? Not nature, she is engaged elsewhere, coaxing a bean sprout from the ground or a python from its glistening egg. Not your friends, who dine wholesomely on bread and apples, or your dog, who can digest only the now. Perhaps tomorrow, affronted by the impertinence of a summer morning, you'll carry your broken heart to the shore and heave it in. On the sand, women raise and lower flowered umbrellas, and in the water, old men in voluminous bathing trunks bloom on slender stalks. It makes a small splash, like Icarus drowning. A splash no one notices, distracted in unison by something each is starting to recall. The scent of white shoulders on a cocktail dress, the taste of salt on young skin, something ground smooth and harmless as beach glass on the seabed of forgotten things, in its crenellated caves, its dark fronds waving.
Now for one by the great Chilean Pablo Neruda, who wrote scores of love poems. Your Laughter is the one we're reading today.
Your Laughter. Take bread away from me if you wish. Take air away, but do not take from me your laughter. Do not take away the rose, the lance flower that you pluck, the water that suddenly bursts forth in your joy, the sudden wave of silver born in you. My struggle is harsh, and I come back with eyes tired at times from having seen the unchanging earth. But when your laughter enters, it rises to the sky seeking me, and it opens for me all the doors of life. My love, in the darkest hour, your laughter opens, and if suddenly you see my blood staining the stones of the street, laugh, because your laughter will be from my hands like a fresh sword. Next to the sea in the autumn, your laughter must raise in foamy cascade. And in spring, love, I want your laughter like the flower I was waiting for, the blue flower, the rose of my echoing country. Laugh at the night, at the day, at the moon. Laugh at the twisted streets of the island. Laugh at this clumsy boy who loves you. But when I open my eyes and close them, when my steps go, when my steps return, deny me bread, air, light, spring, but never your laughter, for I would die.
Next is For Nanao, a poem by Acoma poet Simon Ortiz. Nanao is the name of his Japanese friend, also a poet, who was visiting him in Arizona. During his visit, Nanao went to Canyon de Chelly. Here is how Simon Ortiz tells the story.
For Nanao, the time you came back and told us about meeting a Navajo woman on the canyon's rim, you were happy and smiling. You said, "We were talking, smiling, and gesturing to each other." Yes, Nanao, you must have been, truly. The two languages, Navajo and Japanese, origins from the monumental age of glacial Asia, it is all true. You must have been mother and son then, or sister and brother, or lover and lover. I can see you smiling, remembering that time and millennia. I can see the lights in your eyes.
Our closing poem is by Kabir, a Hindi poet of 14th century India. Like the Persian poets Rumi and Hafiz, Kabir is revered around the world as a spiritual master. This one is called The Clay Jug. Inside this clay jug, there are canyons and pine mountains, and the maker of canyons and pine mountains. All seven oceans are inside, and hundreds of millions of stars. The acid that tests gold is there, and the one who judges jewels. And the music from the strings that no one touches, and the source of all water. If you want the truth, I will tell you the truth. Friend, listen. The God whom I love is inside.
And that's it for Poetry Basket. Many thanks to our guest poets, Marcellus Gamay and Samuel Claiborne, also reading for us today. Our other readers were Carol Goodale, David Hughes, Florine McCovey, Cynthia Potten, Joseph Orozco, and Jay Renzulli. Poetry Basket was produced by Cynthia Potten and engineered by Joseph Orozco. Thank you for listening.